Hi everyone, my name is Shona Lane. I'm Education Officer here at the Western Plains Cultural Centre. Okay, joining us today are Jess, our Collections Officer.
Hi.
Andrew, our Manager.
Good afternoon.
Caroline, Assistant Curator.
Hello.
Abby, and she's a Work Experience student from Senior Campus.
Hello.
And Kent, our Curator.
Hello.
Okay, today we're going to be discussing Brood, which is the latest exhibition in the project space here in the gallery. Brood is an exhibition that features numerous works that are in Western Plains Cultural Centre collection, and it also features three of our latest acquisitions. Jess, can you start by explaining to us the significance of the title of the exhibition, please?
Well, Brood is a word that we kind of stumbled across in our early development of the exhibition, but the more we thought about it, the more we realised how evocative it is as a title, both in the sense of the collection being a brood of objects. It's kind of a family that's being built and gathered together and growing. But also because a lot of the animals that we have in our collection, the way they've been depicted by artists is very emotionally rich, very emotionally deep. So we can pull out those animals that we think have brooding qualities to them that are a bit mysterious, a bit emotional, a bit kind of qualities that is not necessarily easy for us to work out what they're thinking and what it means. So it's giving the exhibition a little more depth and a little more insight into how the reason why we collect animals as a theme is often because of the way they reflect back about the human condition.
There's also the term brood can mean sort of ruminating on a particular thing, issue, etc. And in a way it's about us ruminating on the notion of the animal.
Or even bigger, the notion of our collection, you know, why we collect, what things we collect, what kinds of material we've brought into the collection and why we've brought them into the collection.
Okay, well, so thinking about that, why is it that we have a collection? What is it that makes that an important part of our role here?
Well, I mean, it's not a kind of universal thing that every regional gallery has a collection. We're one of the few that have a collection that we actively engage with, but also one of the few that has a specialisation. A lot of regional galleries just collect art. So having a specialisation gives us a real strong identity on the cultural map, and it makes people aware of not just Dubbo, but the particular kind of environmental and social concerns in our region that we decided to investigate through the animal. So I think for the reasons why we have a collection, obviously there's enormous cultural, financial, educational benefits for the city, but more importantly, I think it's giving Dubbo a particular identity within cultural institutions, within galleries in Australia.
Okay, in thinking about then how we came about these acquisitions, Kent, can you give us an idea of the fundraising and the process that goes into obtaining a new work for the collection?
Sure. The collection has been formed since 1989, through a number of different ways. When you view the exhibition, you will notice on the labels for each of the artworks, there's an accession number, which is usually an in-house cataloguing system. But for the purposes of this show, we decided that it was a good point to include that accession number so that you could actually see in any given year the number of works that may have been collected. The collection has been formed through direct acquisition, so the funds that the Cultural Centre receives from the Friends of the Western Plains Cultural Centre, who are our only source of income for acquisitions. A direct acquisition would be us purchasing the work from their dealer or from the artist directly. There are instances of works coming into the collection as donations, either by an individual, it could be the gift of the artist. There's a number of instances, even just in the show alone, where works have been gifted directly from the artist, usually as a result of us purchasing work. So you'll notice there's six Beverly Veazey photographs on the wall. Three of those were purchased and the other three were gifted as a result of that purchase. But predominantly, the works that have made their way into the collection have been through fundraising. Dubbo Regional Gallery celebrated its 21st birthday last year, and as a result, we we launched a fundraising period, and we raised the funds to purchase a couple of works, one of those being Petrina Hicks' a photograph of a white kitten called Whiskers, which is the very first image you see when you walk into that space. We also purchased work by Sam Leach called Prosthetic, which is quite an amazing object to look at, and a work that we're extremely pleased to have given his significance on the Australian stage.
Can I just add as well that one of the other major ways that we have acquired works into the collection, and is something that I would hope that we could kind of promote and get more people aware of, is the program of cultural gifts, in which artists or people who own significant works in their collection can donate them to a cultural institution and get a tax break for that. It's how we managed to get the Ben Quilty work into our collection. And that kind of program highlights, I think, the fact that for artists, they're keen to get their work into our collection as well, not just for the tax break, I think, but also because it's beneficial for artists to have their works in public institutions. So there's a conscious kind of acknowledgement by artists that they want to try and contribute to the building of the collection as well.
And what about the third work? What's the third work that's been purchased?
Penny Byrne, a work called Not a Glimmer of Hope, which is a fantastic polar bear swilling a very large bottle of vodka.
And how do we go about actually deciding on those artworks? How do we narrow it down? And there's certain, obviously the animal in art is our focus, but there would be massive numbers of artworks out there with that focus.
Well, there is a particularly large folder that Jessica has, which is...
Adding to daily.
Yeah. We as a team are always on the lookout for artworks that feature animals. And there's, as I said, there's an extremely big wish list. As a team, we essentially come up with these lists, and each time we have the opportunity to use funds from the Friends of the Cultural Centre, we get that list together, and the decision is usually made up by an acquisitions committee, and so it's very democratic in terms of how the works are chosen. And that's really important so that you don't get one particular style.
But also we're very conscious of making sure that if we've just acquired some photographs, then potentially the next thing we'll acquire is a drawing or a sculpture. If we don't have a lot of works that feature domestic animals, we might focus on that area, or working animals, we might focus on that area. So we're conscious of looking at what is in the collection and looking at where its strengths and its weaknesses are, and ensuring that the direction that we go with the next purchase kind of addresses an area that we may feel is lacking within the collection.
And the more works that we acquire, the more rigorous the theme becomes, the more we're able to present the complexities of the theme. Certainly in the past, there has been criticism of the theme as being very single-minded, and not particularly diverse, but really on the face of it, that's what it seems. But the more you delve, the more you examine artists' practice. Most artists at some point have depicted an animal in some form, and that very fact is something that we are fascinated in, as the reason for them to choose to depict an animal has a lot to say about animals, but equally as much to say about human beings.
And all this is backed up by policy. You know, being a government institution, you know, we have policy for most things. And as you were saying earlier, Jessica, that many artists are keen to get their works into a public institution. There are many reasons for that. I might get you to touch on some of those, and how we have to be, in a sense, we have to be aware of that in our purchases.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
what we do has an impact on a much wider scale than just our collection.
Definitely. I mean, there are. It's incredibly fortunate for an artist to be included in a public collection. It helps their reputation, not just critically, but also financially, that their works become recognised as being in public collections. So we're aware, completely aware of the ramifications to not only their career, but to our collection generally by what acquisitions we make. So we don't necessarily acquire anybody who offers something to us. We still go through a very rigorous process of assessing the work based on the policy that we have in place, based on the curatorial and education needs of the centre, but also kind of in a sort of basic level, how we can manage that work, artwork, how we can store it, how we can insure it, how we can look after it. So there have been instances where we've been offered works that we simply could not take because the onus on us, the responsibility to manage that work because of its size or its fragility, was something that we couldn't do. Similarly, we've also not taken works because we didn't feel as though the artist had reached a level in their career worthy of coming into a public institution. So we have to make those kind of critical judgments as well.
And that's a real tightrope because...
It is, yes.
For an institution that is relatively cash poor when it comes to acquisitions, it means that a certain level of artists is sort of out of our league in terms of a direct purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's finding artists who are affordable, but at the same time that we see potential in...
It is. It's a very fine tightrope that we have to walk in sense of making sure that we are aware of an artist's practice and how they're developing as an artist, but being able to acquire them at a point in which it's financially viable and we're getting a bargain for our money. So that comes back to our kind of day-to-day jobs in terms of making sure we're on top of what's happening in the art world, but also making sure that we kind of follow the policy, which has helped us have a really rigorous and very transparent process about getting works into the collection.
Yeah. But also to ensure that, aside from the politics, aside from, you know, the market, etc., to paraphrase Gertrude Stein, a good work is a good work is a good work.
Mm.
Where was the paraphrase in that?
Well, she said, a rose is a rose is a rose.
I thought that was Shakespeare. That's a rose by any other name. Or was that Keats? I'm not sure. However, to get back to the point, I think we also sort of underlying this has been is, and so you sort of touched on it when you mentioned, Jess, that, you know, we have to be aware of how we're going to store it and the ongoing thing. I mean, you know, we don't collect for ourselves.
No.
We collect for the region that we serve. And so our collection is, in a sense, their collection.
Oh,
and
very
much so. And when we make these decisions, it is part of what we do is this of actual benefit to the people, you know, who actually, I suppose, make up our audience and our region.
Exactly. I mean, the art collection is something that I'm contributing to while I'm the collections officer. It's not something that it's bigger than me. It will last longer than me. It's something that we're putting together on behalf of the community. So we're consciously having to think outside our own heads about what works will be interesting or beneficial to the community in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years.
Well, that's right, because essentially the Museum of Modern Art's collection was this big once.
Yes. Oh, hopefully one day.
Okay, we'll leave our discussion of Brood there.
The next exhibition in the main gallery is Art Express, which is an exhibition of artworks by HSC students, and it's always an extremely popular exhibition. In the past, Art Express had a regional tour that was essentially a show that was put together by the organisers of Art Express, and it toured around to venues. Over the last few years, the Western Plains Cultural Centre has built up a great relationship with Art Express, and we now curate our own exhibition. So a staff member travels down to Homebush Bay and chooses the works of the show. This year, the show has been curated by Shona. Shona, how was that process?
Thanks, Kent. That process was intense, to say the least. When I first started in this position last year, and I've had the opportunity to reflect on this recently in writing for another document, Kent mentioned that I'd have the opportunity to select works for Art Express, and that appealed to me dramatically because I obviously love to see outstanding HSC students. But when I got down there, I was faced with the reality of the process, and it really was quite overwhelming. Faced with a pavilion, a Sydney Olympic Park pavilion, full of artworks that unfortunately didn't all stay out on display. They actually packed them away as quick as they were pulling them out. So deciding on them was really, really difficult. And the criteria that I was trying to focus on was really quite difficult to achieve as well, making sure there was a representation of boys and girls and public and private schools and addressing the 12 different types of works that have to be included in the space, as well as thinking about what Kent would have to deal with in hanging them when we got back. So it was definitely challenging but really worthwhile and just astounding in terms of quality as well as quantity and what they're able to produce in that time frame. It was really, really impressive. We've got Abby with us, and she's a current visual arts student at Senior Campus. Abby, can you talk to us a bit about the project that you're working on at the moment?
My HSC body of work, I started term four last year. And mine consists of, I'm working on Photoshop, and it's to do with my nan, and she's got Alzheimer's. So I'm layering all different techniques and all different layers of all, like, past, like her beads and stuff like that, onto Photoshop, and just photographs of her. So the concept is like Alzheimer's and dementia and just how the stages go on, the seven stages of it. So I'm going to do about 7 to 10 photographs of each stage.
Okay, and that's due quite soon, isn't it? August, not far away?
Yes, in August.
Yeah. How are you going? Are you nearly there?
I'm about halfway there. Just got to keep going because we've had an interview with our teachers like every term. Just our process of it, and they've just give you more tips each time. So you just got to keep adding to it, and it's just stressing me out.
Very stressful.
I think that what Abby touched on is one of the strengths of Art Express is that the works that the students produce are always really personal. They're always about issues that are really, really close to their home, close to their heart. So I think, I mean, the technical skill is one thing, but there's very few exhibitions out there where you get such a personal insight into the kind of fears and worries and experiences of people so acutely as you do in Art Express.
Well, not only that, I mean, in terms of the HSC, all your other subjects are essentially, you know, subjects that you're working on. You may have a personal relationship to it or not, depending on your tastes or whatever, but essentially you're producing an artwork that is saying something about who you are at that point in your life, which is not easy to do at any age.
No.
As I mentioned before, Art Express is a huge show on the calendar for the Cultural Centre. It's up there with the Archibald. And similarly, as an event that happens every year, Art Express is not without its pros and cons. I'd be interested to hear from people what they see the benefits of Art Express and maybe what are some of the downsides to an exhibition of that kind.
Well, from my perspective, I mean, what I was saying before about the emotional intensity of the works for me is a definite pro, that you really can see that kids are reaching into their soul and kind of pulling it out for people to look at, which is, as you said, incredibly difficult thing to do at any age. Similarly to that, on the other side, they can be quite earnest, they can be quite dramatic, overly dramatic. And from my point of view, often you can see the influences of teachers slightly too much. The references repeat year and year and year, and it tends to be a sort of staple of 5 to 10 different artists from art history that can clearly see they have been the ones they've studied, and it's a bit of a overly referential to those artists. But that's students, that's them learning, that's them kind of finding out who they are. So, you know, the pros for me outweigh the cons, certainly.
I think in my current role, I think the pros are definitely the opportunity for schools, students to come in and reflect on the different frames that they are studying and to see them being played out in works that have been produced by students who have gone through that same education process. From a teaching perspective and coming from what I know about secondary kids, I think it's fantastic insight into their minds, as you were saying, Jess, just what youth are concerned with today and the issues that they're facing and how they're coping with those issues. I think it does wonders to have a look at those and to really really understand why they behave the way they do, and it makes the behaviours in the classroom a bit more put some explanation behind those. In terms of cons, I don't think there are any.
Spoken like an ex-teacher. Anyway, I think that in terms of pros and cons, I want to look at it from the point of view of the visitor. And one of the constant refrains that you hear from people who come out of an Art Express show is, ooh, aren't they clever?
Yes.
I didn't know kids could be like that.
Mm.
So there's always this assumption that the teenager, the modern teenager, is this sort of cave-dwelling beast of no talent who nothing is expected and nothing is ever received until all of a sudden they produce this magnificent work and people go, oh, isn't he clever? Oh, you know, keeps in mind of reference to Monty Python sketch, but I won't. but at the same time, I think for a lot of the visitors, the technical skill far overshadows the actual thematic content of it. And they don't see the angst, possibly. That's good, a good thing. But they don't see a lot of the concerns and they don't see the worries and they don't see the lives. They just see, oh, they can draw well, they can paint well, they can... They're certainly good at the editing suite. And I think that, in a sense, maybe... I don't know if that's part of the marking process where technical skill is paramount and that's what you need to get a band six, and maybe that's a good rationale.
That's
I think that's one of the... To me, that's one of the drawbacks, and that's more from... I suppose the audience's response rather than their works themselves.
I think there's definitely a formula. Having seen Art Expresses over the years and taught students in HSC, there's definitely certain things that you can do in your work that will get you more points.
What is it? So if you're a good sketcher, should you put a sketch in?
That's super.
You can't.
No, well, I mean, that's definitely. I mean,
there are certain
artists
that you refer to that, you know, you get
If you appropriate,
if you
appropriate
use postmodernism,
the right artists,
big tick, you know.
There's a number of different things that will get you good marks that show your knowledge of art, your understanding of materials, etc. So there's definitely ways to get good marks. I think number one, talent is, you know, that shines through no matter what. It's an interesting litmus test for humanity, Art Express. I think it's interesting to look at it and see that some issues are universal. You know, people at that age are extremely earnest and worried about big issues, and, you know, that comes out in a work. And, you know, it's quite remarkable, actually, that the work does come out as sophisticated as it is for people of that age who are constructing their own identities, trying to finish school and get good marks all at the same time. It's insane in many ways, but they do it.
And also, and in the sense that they do it in little one-hour bursts where a bell rings and they go, chop, you're an artist now, get to it, and then you're an artist, and then, no, I'm sorry, now you're doing maths.
The work, the exhibition is also interesting on the level of it being a collaborative process. It's not necessarily so obvious for the viewer, but that show is the culmination of the blood, sweat and tears of not only the student, but the parents, the siblings, the teachers. You know, to get it completed and submitted. And then, you know, it's a further kind of honour, I suppose, for the student to then be selected for an exhibition such as this.
Okay, moving on to what's on here at the Cultural Centre.
Coming up in the galleries, as mentioned before, Art Express will take up the main space, so if you haven't seen Adaptation, get and see it now before it closes on Sunday. And the new media space, which is currently presenting Hayden Fowler's The Long Forgetting, will be replaced by the film and video works by Art Express students. So if you haven't seen Hayden Fowler and want to know what all the fuss is about, get along.
Okay, we'll finish our podcast there. Thank you everyone for joining us. You can now subscribe to our podcast by accessing iTunes and searching WPC.